At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Welcome, everyone, to SI Media with Jimmy Traina. Thank you so much for listening. We have a major sports media podcast here for you with Brian Curtis of The Ringer. So much sports media news that we covered. We've got the Tony Romo backlash, Romo and Nance actually calling the Super Bowl this year and how that's going to play out. Tom Brady replacing Greg Olsen. A lot of controversy there. People really love Greg Olsen. Tom has made it clear he's going to go into the broadcast booth for Fox. Still talking about ESPN replacing Jeff Van Gundy with Doc Rivers and how Doc Rivers is gone. Touch on some other things. Stephen A. Smith and what's going on with him in ESPN. Monday Night Raw going to Netflix. So cover all that with Brian Curtis of The Ringer. No Sal this week. Hopefully he'll be back next week. And before we get to Brian, just we've had some really great shows in recent weeks. Kyle Brandt from Good Morning Football was on SI Media with Jimmy Traina last week. He was tremendous. Really fun, insightful interview. Can't recommend that enough. 2 weeks ago, Kevin Burkhardt and Greg Olsen were on the podcast. They are no longer a team anymore, it seems. They called the NFC title game, and now Tom will replace Greg Olsen. So we interviewed them 2 weeks ago on the podcast. Jim Miller, 3 weeks ago on a lot of things going on at ESPN. So if you missed any of those interviews, go into the archives, check them out, and please make sure you're a subscriber to SI Media with Jimmy Traina, and it would be great if you left a review on Apple as well. But subscribing is the main key. And again, Kyle Brandt, Kevin Burkhardt, Greg Olsen, Jim Miller, all recent guests, so check those out. All right, let's get to it. Got about an hour here of inside sports media stuff with the great Brian Curtis of The Ringer, all right here, right now on SI Media with Jimmy Traina. All right, joining me now, always love having him on SI Media podcast regular. It's been about three and a half months since he's been on, so we had to have to check in with the editor at large at The Ringer, host of the Press Box podcast, Brian Curtis. Brian, ready for Super Bowl Sunday here as we have the dog week before we get to the game?
Yeah, well, you'd think so, but I've seen a few news items about sports broadcasting. I don't know about you, crossing my my Twitter stream. So we got a lot to talk about before we even
there
get to
the There is a lot to talk about. I find it, I was going to start with Brady and Greg Olsen, but since I mentioned the Super Bowl, I do find it interesting that the knives are out for Tony Romo, and he's got the Super Bowl this year. I wonder deep down if CBS and Romo were like, maybe not this year for the Super Bowl, but it's going to become a story because he's somehow become public enemy number one with viewers, it seems like.
Yes. I would say I think it would have happened any year with Romo now because he's just, his turn on the wheel has come around, and some of it's deserved, frankly. I also think the fact that you have this being a Taylor Swift Super Bowl, you're going to have a lot of people on Twitter who are going to suddenly have a lot of opinions about Tony Romo that might not have been on Twitter in a normal year. At least they were there for the AFC Championship game. Super Bowl's kind of everybody anyway. So I just think, yeah, I think he is in for a big, big day on Twitter. Absolutely.
Yeah. I did not think Romo's performance during the AFC title game with the Chiefs and Ravens was bad. I actually thought he was really good in the first half. I think Tony gets in trouble where Tony always gets in trouble is he goes a little over the top. He said the Mahomes, where the ball was tipped and Mahomes caught it, was one of the best plays of all time. It wasn't. I think, though, for me, the nitpicking of Romo is what I find ridiculous. Like when he had that line that made no sense going to break about
the ball security.
Yeah. I mean, we need every website to write a blog post on that one line. It seemed to me, it seems like there's a big, I get it. There are definitely criticisms that are valid of Tony, but I think there's a lot of pile on going on here. That's just me.
I totally agree. I agree with what you said about the AFC Championship game. I'd also backdated a week. I thought his KC Buffalo game was pretty good too. I did not think that was a bad game at all. He gets a little excited when the game gets close and he starts to say things that sometimes come out weird. Yeah. But you know who else does that? Who we're loving this week and every week is Greg Olsen. Greg Olsen has things that come out and you're like, wait, what? It's kind of athlete speak. And I think Tony is just, it's his turn. You know, it's going to be everybody's turn eventually. And by the way, if Tony Romo is the crisis we have in NFL broadcasting right now, think how good this is.
Right.
I mean, like, if we think Tony Romo is the weak spot, Tony Romo, folks, is the number one NFL announcer. This idea that there's somehow this crisis because he's calling the Super Bowl with Jim Nance, you're like, I've seen way, way worse. I've seen way worse when Phil Simms was on at the end with Jim Nance in his final years on that crew.
Yep.
It was awful.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
Really bad. Think of Monday night with Jason Witten and all that stuff. Like, this is the crisis?
I do think it's funny you mentioned that. I think that's the great analogy there because it did feel like to me. Now, I thought the Tessitore, Booger, Witten was bad. But it got to the point where, like, now we're going to go through every single sentence. And that's what's going on with Tony. If you're gonna analyze a broadcaster doing a three and a half hour game, there's going to be lines in there from anyone that are going to be a little weird and a little off. They're doing live TV. So the nitpicking of that one line I thought was so ridiculous. And, you know, you make the comparison to Olsen, you know, when Olsen goes over the top, he's still like in a relatively calm way. Tony gets over the top, and then he gets a little goofy. And I think maybe that's what turns people off. I don't know, but I don't watch the Romo games and think to myself, oh, I've got to shut the sound off. I can't take this. I just don't think it's that bad. And I feel like I'm on another planet when I scroll through Twitter, but that's Twitter for you, I guess.
And I think the thing is that Twitter and the people we know are going to be either making football points about the announcers or they're going to be seizing on, you know, little phrases like what you're talking about.
Right.
What they're going to be ignoring is that Tony's great gift is he's got a really good sense of show business. He's very, very personable. He is more personable than any other announcer on television. If you just put somebody in front of a game who doesn't watch a lot of football and say, which one of these guys do you like? Troy, Chris, Tony, Olsen, they're going to probably pick Tony because he's just very emotionally accessible.
Yes.
Sometimes it goes a little overboard. Sometimes it gets annoying. Sometimes he does round 18 of Lamar legacy talk in the second half. You're like, okay, it was a good point. I got it, but we need to move on here.
Yeah.
But he's got a gift for being on television. Like that's his thing. And again, I've written about all these holes in his game and all this stuff, but I agree with you. I think we're just kind of going over the waterfall a little bit.
Yeah.
This is not a crisis to me.
Exactly. I agree. And it's also
perfect number one guy. That's what I would call him.
Right. I agree. And I think, while we're both saying maybe Tony goes over the top a little and there's some hyperbole that we don't need, that's because Tony's different than Troy and Olsen and Collinsworth. He's got a totally different personality. He's, I think, more fun than those guys. Maybe, you know, that's subjective. Maybe other people don't find it, but he's got a more fun, loose personality than the other guys. So you got to take that, and then there's going to be stuff because of that that you may not love, but again, it doesn't affect my level of enjoyment of a broadcast, but it definitely to me seems like, oh, let me get some Twitter clout and bash Tony because that's the thing to do. That's how it comes off to me.
I will say, maybe just because he and Nance have called so many big AFC playoff game now with Mahomes.
Yeah.
When I hear his voice before a game like that, I was like, this feels big time, man. This feels like a big time game, which is a third and test of an announcement.
And he was the only guy and got ripped for it who said the Bills can make the playoffs when they were playing like crap in that game against Kansas, the regular season game against Kansas City. It was like, you know, people, how could Tony Romo say this? How could Tony Romo? And then he was right. So,
yeah, he has a little bit of a podcaster in him where you just make all kinds of declarations.
Yes.
You know, it used to be predictions and now it's kind of more declarations. He's like, if they win this game, they're going to look back at this play and think da da da. And you're like, wow, it's a second quarter. And then I don't even remember that play, but he just kind of knows how to kind of make news every 10 minutes.
Yep.
It's really funny because it's like, oh, well, you should be the ringer. You know, this is, you've got the
gift. My only issue with Tony is when, you know, it could be the second quarter, third quarter, and he's going, this is the play of the game right here. And it's like, okay, let's not get crazy. He loves to say this is the play of the game.
Yes.
But other than that, I don't really have all these criticisms of Tony. I don't get it, but.
Yeah. Here we are.
But yeah, so I love that he's calling the Super Bowl, and then I saw he's getting the Pat Summerall Award at the Super Bowl.
Okay, brief digression. Do you know what the Pat Summerall Award is?
Absolutely not.
No, same.
But it's just named after Pat Summerall, so you think it's got some prestige.
No offense to Pat Summerall, but Jimmy and I who cover this don't exactly know what the award is. Yeah.
Well, I've learned long ago sports, like, you know, like the sports Emmys,
oh, God.
Not exactly real. You know, people like to give me shit because pro wrestling is fake. The sports Emmys, I mean.
Well, as we found out.
Yes, well. You
know? And when that happened, I was like, I just need to explain to everybody that nobody knows who wins the sports Emmys year to year except the people who are actually winning the sports Emmys.
Right. I still, and you know, this was not a topic I was going to get into, but you're way smarter than me. So I still don't even understand that story because I'm like, the talent didn't win the Emmys, but their name was on the Emmy. Didn't they say, no one questioned how did they not know they won, but they really didn't win? I was so confused by that story. It wasn't even fun.
It's kind of a victimless crime, essentially.
Yeah.
Like they were actually winning, but they were just, the on-screen talent wasn't supposed to get a physical statue when, like, game day won. So what they were doing is submitting fake names so that then they could give the talent a statue. It's a real penny ante.
All for the sports Emmy. Oh my God. Before we get to Brady, because Brian has a great article about Brady up on The Ringer, you mentioned Taylor Swift. Do you think this Super Bowl, Chiefs and Niners in Las Vegas, February 11th, do you think that will end up becoming the most watched Super Bowl of all time? Because the record was last year, 115 million people watched Eagles Chiefs on Fox. Do you think this Super Bowl tops 115?
Well, the asterisk here, right, is they started counting this slightly differently a couple years ago. Right,
I know. TV sports ratings.
I always say this.
I don't want to piss him off. Sports TV ratings, I should say, on Twitter. I don't want to piss him off because I know everything's about out of home. But
whatever. I just putting that out there.
Yeah, I want to just please take. I'm just saying last year was 115 million. Will this year top it? Let's put it that way.
It certainly feels like two giant cultural things are coming together here at the same time. That is way different from your normal Super Bowl, or at least was in the normal Super Bowl was like, it's the halftime show. And that's like a really high wattage halftime show that people care about. This is the whole game. You know, it's like, I can watch and see that shot of her celebrating an Isaiah Pacheco touchdown. So,
there have been many Super Bowls recently, especially where halftime was watched more than the game. I don't think that'll be the case this year. But I will say I am one of these people, and I know you're not allowed to say this, and I may go to jail for this, but I'll just take my chances. I'm one of the people that don't think she brought that many new viewers to the games on a week-to-week basis. If she did, I don't know. It's bizarre to me that you'd watch a game to see if she's in it. But having said that, I think this is the game where she's going to have a major impact. Because this game is not for football fans. This game is for everyone but football fans. If you're a football fan who, you know, you're there watching week 6, week 7, week 8, you're watching this game no matter what. So this is where the fringe fan comes in, where you get 115 million viewers. I think this is where she's going to have an impact. I think you're going to see it's getting a monster number no matter what. But I think it easily tops 115, and I think she's going to be a big part of that. I did not think she was a part of that for the regular season, but like I said, this game, it's, you know, Super Bowl Sunday's a holiday. People who don't care about football watch it, so I would expect an enormous number.
Did you see that great moment after the AFC Championship game where she was down on the field and she was kissing Travis Kelce and giving him a big hug, and somehow CBS had Phil Simms talking while this was happening, so Phil Simms got to be the voice of intimacy for America. And he goes, oh, she's giving her a hug, she's giving a kiss. And then he just pivoted to like a point about the Ravens losing. And I'm like, okay, Phil, I don't know a ton about the Taylor world and all that stuff, but like, there is nothing bigger than what is happening on the screen. And maybe we could save the Ravens point
right
for another day. Like, you can just let this play. Trust me, people are interested in what is happening right now. Just a little note there for
yeah. I didn't see it live when that happened, because I think I went right over to the other game. But obviously the clip was all over Twitter, so I saw that. So Phil Simms was talking over that. That must have been jarring.
It's the guy you want in that moment.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think if there's anything on CBS having the – I am looking forward to – you know, I'm not going to watch the eight-hour pregame or whatever it is, but they do have that – I don't know if it's a documentary technically, but there is a one-hour special at 1 o'clock on Super Bowl Sunday about the history of the NFL today. And so I know cool. They have Brent and Greg Gumbel and Nance and obviously James Brown. That I will make sure to watch. I'm looking forward to that on Super Bowl Sunday.
I think that the only way to describe that to people is it's like what Inside the NBA is now a little bit, or you can maybe put College Game Day in that category. Yep. It's like, just want to watch because you – something would happen, and that's where the action was. Yeah. And it was all these characters, like Inside the NBA, where you're like, what's it gonna say? I mean, the fact that Brent and Jimmy the Greek were in a bar fight, you know, in real life, not wrestling, actual real life. I mean, they were right. just an unbelievable show and an unbelievable story.
Absolutely. And Jimmy the Greek gets fired. Was it right before the NFC Championship game? It was like in the middle of the playoffs, I think, when he got.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Brent had to go on and make that statement,
and then Brent gets fired right before the Final Four.
Yeah, it is wild. It is wild. So I'm looking forward to that on Super Bowl Sunday. So yeah, so CBS, Nance Romo. I'm sure we'll get a lot of Gene Steratore on Super Bowl. CBS. Does any network love to go to the rules analyst more than CBS?
And the kicker analyst. And there's a lot of handoffs on that broadcast happening. Yeah. And I'm just like, you know, that can happen like once or twice a game, and I'm all good. And only for very confusing calls. I'm just happy with the analyst to be working that out for me.
Yeah.
You think Collinsworth kind of just handles it, you know, most of the time. They do a little bit, but I just feel like, you got this.
CBS, they love to go to Gene Steratore. Love it. they're one of, you know, the pregame. I think J.J. Watt's been a good addition. I think what I like about J.J. Watt is he doesn't seem to be afraid to – he doesn't sugarcoat things. He seems to come right out and say it. But he doesn't get a ton of time because there's 74 guys on the show.
It just feels like that's going to get a facelift, right? CBS yeah. Sports is about to be under new management. You know, a lot of people there have been there a long time. You know, maybe it's built around J.J. Maybe it's built around Nate Burleson.
I always – whenever – I don't watch it regularly, but whenever I see Nate Burleson in the studio, my weird brain just automatically goes to, this guy's on morning TV Monday through Friday, at probably wakes up at 3 a.m. Why is he doing this? Do you really need to be on an NFL pregame show when you're sitting with Gail King at 7 a.m. Monday through Friday? But, you know, I guess the paycheck is very good for Nate.
It's interesting to weigh those things now, isn't it? Because in the old days, like the Today Show would have been the morning show would have been so big.
Right.
But at the same time, the pregame show is so big that you and I aren't watching that moment to moment. Most super football fans aren't watching that moment to moment, but it's still like a huge audience and
right. Big deal. Yeah. And it's, I guess, and the Nate thing is not unusual because you have Strahan, whose situation is actually way crazier than Nate's, because he flies from LA to New York and it's on 2 days. He's on ABC during the week on Good Morning America, then flies and does Fox across the country. And now Kurt Menefee, who is also on the Fox show, is doing local mornings in New York on Fox 5 here in New York.
That was really surprising when I saw that announcement.
Yeah. At least Nate, everything's in New York for Nate, so he's got that going for him. But I guess the networks love the, you know, I bet executives just love having that crossover. Like, oh, this guy's the face of our news and on our morning show, and then here he is on, it's all, which sort of ties into Brady, because the Brady Fox thing is, I think, super interesting. Brian currently has an article on The Ringer. Tom Brady is the ultimate test case for fame in the broadcast booth. I read it. Why don't you just give everyone a little synopsis of what your thesis is there, and then we can get into Tom and Greg Olson. But give the people a little insight into that article you just wrote.
Well, the first thing I was trying to figure out is, like, who is like Tom Brady in sports broadcasting history? Someone who actually wants to be an announcer, or let us say can be enticed to be an announcer for $37 million a year, that has his level of not just like being a great famous football player, but just being a famous human person. Joe Montana was kind of in that zone when he did NBC for about 5 minutes. Maybe Peyton Manning, you could argue, though he'd been retired for a few years when he did it. He's certainly in that category. But I really came back to like Frank Gifford in the old days of Monday Night Football, which predates both of us. But like when Frank first came on, he was it, right? He was the golden boy. He was New York Giants. He was USC. He was the man. And I think that's probably Tom Brady. And I think what makes the experiment so fascinating to me is, one of the obvious questions, is Tom Brady going to be good at broadcasting? Which we all don't know. And then the second part is just like, what's that going to be like? What's it going to be like to have somebody that who's been that much part of our football lives for 20 years, who has more hardware than anybody in NFL history, actually being like, let me break down this, you know, run off tackle on second down.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
There's so many layers to this. As you said, is Tom going to be good? I think he's going to be good, but we can get into that. But the Greg Olson factor, the way this just played out for Fox is so wild to me, that they announced Tom, he's taking a year off, which I think was smart. Everyone falls in love with Greg Olson. Now he's going to get bumped or end up somewhere else, which we can get into that too. People don't think Tom's going to do it. Tom's doing it. I mean, that's been made clear.
Yep.
You hit on something which I had forgotten about till I read your article, because I've heard people say three-man booth, which I mean, I even threw that out there. If you don't want to just alienate Olson, I had people on Twitter saying put Brady in the pregame. If Tom Brady's making $37.5 million a year, he's going to be the number one analyst for Fox.
100%.
That's it. That's it right there. So how do you think it plays out? Do you think Olson just goes to the number two team with Joe Davis? Fox implements the plan they had set up all along, and that's it?
Yep. I think that's a pretty good job. You know, I think there was another number one job out there right now. If there was something happening in broadcasting, Fox really likes Greg Olson internally, like as a person. Like, he's really well-liked. He did this thing knowing that he was going to get replaced in a year or two, and he crushed it I think, beyond even their expectations of what Greg Olsen could do, and they had really high expectations of him. So I think there was something out there they would probably let him out of his deal, or they would at least talk about letting him out of his deal. But I think he's just going to go back to number two, which is, by the way, a pretty good job. You have a playoff game a lot of times in the first round. It's not terrible. You're doing early games, but it's the NFC, so you'll have some big matchups and stuff like that. And then I think he'll look around, and he said this today on the Dan Patrick Show I was watching right before we came on. Like, he wants to be an A broadcaster. Yeah, he wants to be a top guy.
He said that to me. He said the same exact thing.
Where is that job?
Yep. You know, same exact thing to me 2 weeks ago here. You could tell he's not, I don't want to say he's not thrilled, but he wants to be the number one guy. That's it. That's just, he made it very clear the way he said it to me too. And it is going to be interesting to see how it plays out, because Romo and Aikman aren't going anywhere. Romo signed a 10-year contract in 2020. So unless CBS wants to just pay, they're not doing it. It's just not even an option. After years of having major issues with Monday Night, ESPN has the best booth in football, so Aikman's not going anywhere. So that leaves Amazon and NBC. I don't think Collinsworth has a ton of years left on his contract. It might be one or two.
It's just through the next NBC Super Bowl, which I believe is 2 years from now, because Fox next year, right, and then NBC.
So I think that's the best hope for Olsen, because they booted Al, brought in Tirico, so now this can be like a complete overhaul when they bring in Olsen. You know, it's not like Collinsworth is in his 40s. I could see that. I think that's going to be the option for Olsen, unless Tom decides after a year or two he doesn't want to do it anymore, which I'd be surprised again, because they're giving him $37.5 million. So what do you think about all that?
I think it's the best spot for Olsen if it were available, because it's Sunday night, you get soon the Super Bowl rotation, all that stuff. Yeah. I kind of got us getting a sense that it might not be available, that Chris might have at least one more contract in it. One is Chris Collins. We're still really good. Like, there's not, he's another one. He weirdly comes in for more scrutiny now than he, remember when he was like the best guy from throughout the entire 2010s. Just talking to people and sort of reaching out about that question, I'm not sure Chris Collinsworth is done. I'm not sure NBC's done with Chris Collinsworth. I mean, just remember, these are still networks that are pretty conservative about changing over these jobs. You know, this is not, usually you don't have like spectacular firings. We think we got a little spoiled last couple of years because Aikman and Buck walked out the door, and that was shocking at the time. Yeah. But unless you really need to make a change, I don't know that you're going to be like, you know what, Greg Olsen, that would require us to end something at NBC that's worked so well. And like I said, I think Chris is still really, really good.
The only reason I say this is they did it with Al. So
they did, you're talking about like it's a difference of one. Tirico was in-house. It was his job. There were tons of people in the network who loved Al, but felt like it's Mike's turn. And Mike is ready for this. He's obviously a great play-by-play guy. He's going to crush this. He's going to be awesome. Greg's not in-house, right? So you're talking about making, if he were doing the pregame show or something like that, maybe he could talk me into it, but I don't know. So I kind of think Amazon, which feels like it's going to have a 2.0 here pretty soon. Al's signed, I think, for one more year. Mm-hmm. There's Herbie's there.
Both are there for one more year. This coming year,
I could completely see that, you know, flipping over and him landing over there. Remember, Amazon could have a playoff game pretty soon, right? Peacock game is up for bid.
Let me tell you, there's going to be multiple. I mean, if you don't think there's going to be playoff games on Peacock and Paramount Plus and ESPN, and that's all going to happen. I mean,
$100 million, step right up. $150 million, buy a playoff game.
Here's a question for you. If you're Greg Olsen, what do you think is the better job? The number two guy at Fox or the lead guy for Amazon? Considering the money's the same, because everything always comes down to money.
I don't think the money would be the same, right? Because I think the Amazon money would be.
Right, right. But I'm saying if the money were the same.
It's a good question. Thursday night, you have the night to yourself.
Yep.
We shouldn't discount, even though Amazon feels smaller, don't discount how like just having the night to yourself, having everybody's undivided attention, even if it's on a streamer. But playoff game at Fox, most years or some, let's say, I guess some years it's changed.
And most weeks you almost get as many viewers, as many eyeballs as Amazon. If you're
an early game and it's often, you know, Niners, but, you know, Packers, Cowboys, right, a couple times a year. Yeah. That's really close. What do you think?
It's tough because I think Fox may be slightly a better gig for the schedule is such a crapshoot on the Thursday night, and the games are often not great. Even when you know, the schedule is better this year, but sometimes the games aren't great. I think if you're the way the NFC, I mean, I know it's not traditional anymore with Fox with NFC and CBS with AFC, but it does feel like number two at Fox, you do get a decent amount of good games, good teams, big markets, Chicago, New York, Dallas, Philly, the Rams, yeah. Even though no one really cares about them. I think it's tough. I mean, you have the choice. You go with whoever's paying you the best money, but I don't know. I think if you stay at Fox, go ahead.
No, well, you may be about to make this point, but there's a non-zero chance that Tom Brady is not like a long timer in this industry either, right?
Exactly. That I was going to say, you stay at Fox, you hope Tom gets sick of it, and then you just get the bump up. If you leave and go to Amazon, who knows if you can come back to Fox.
I could absolutely see Brady doing 3 to 5 years and declaring victory because he just has more options in life than any normal human like you and I could ever contemplate, or even like yeah. Chris Collinsworth could ever contemplate. Another even normal, let's say like normal NFL number one guys could ever contemplate.
And that's what's fascinating, I think, about Brady, because like you said, if he did 3 to 5 years, you could see him then, dominating it and saying, peace out. I can see Tom doing like the Madden thing and becoming like the number one guy for like 25 years and loving it. It just seems he's a footballer for life. He's not leaving. It doesn't seem like he's ever going to leave the game of football in some capacity.
He's also just very competitive. And I think the bet on Tom Brady, you know, some of these guys get in, and I think Romo has a little bit of this in his makeup where you're just like, I get in, it's fun. Here we go, Jim. And you're not working hard and you're not looking at it with like, I'm going to be the best freaking broadcaster in the country. Whether I get there or not, that's my goal. I just think Tom Brady is going to come in with that. Like, that's what he's going to look at Peyton. He's going to look at Aikman. He's going to look at Collins. He's like, I want to be better than those guys.
Right.
And he's going to work at it. And I can see that being a 10-year, 20's a long time, but like, let's say, job for him. And hey, you work half the year, you make $37 million, you do your Fox brand ambassador stuff, and then you can literally do whatever you want to do with the rest of your time.
Yeah, I think he's going to have fun doing it. It always seems, when it was Buck and Aikman and Aaron Andrews on Fox, they got very close. It was always, Burkhardt, Olsen, and Aaron Andrews seemed to really love each other. It's close, Tom Rinaldi's in that mix. I think he's going to have fun with it. And I think, I'll say this, I was never one of these people that thought he wasn't going to do it. I thought from day one he was going to do it. I know I sound like a bragger and a dick, but I listened to his Sirius XM show every Monday night because it comes on right after Russo, so it's there. And let me just props to SiriusXM for fixing your app. Thank God the 15-second rewind and fast forward buttons are back. Thank you for fixing that after I went nuts on this podcast a month ago.
Sidebar to Sirius.
Yes, important sidebar, because I want to give credit because nobody listens to customers, so that was good that they did that. He is not afraid to call people out on that podcast. I mean, he had a whole thing about how he thinks the quarterbacks are responsible for a lot of the injuries because they're not throwing the ball in the right place. He thinks the coaching is bad. I know he had words about Dan Campbell this week with his ridiculous coaching in the NFC title game. If he can bring what he brings to the podcast to the Fox games, I think people are going to really enjoy him because he is not afraid to share his opinion. He will not sugarcoat it. I always get nervous when any ex-player is doing it because I don't think ex-players want to criticize players. I don't think Tom cares as much about that. I mean, he's Tom Brady. He can do whatever the fuck he wants.
Yeah. Oh, totally. And that'll be the key, right? Just making sure you unlock enough of that. And I think the Fox thing, I've spent time around that production team. I think their games look awesome. That NFC Championship game looked awesome.
Yep.
That shot of George Kittle putting Aiden Hutchinson on his ass and then both guys laughing about it right after the play. They just personalize football in this really cool way.
Yeah.
I think if you can get him in there and, again, I just feel like there's a lot less downside than there would be with, generic famous person. I just feel he will really try whether he's great or just good or maybe even bad. I feel like he will work at it.
I think he's going to have one thing going against him, and just one. I think there's going to be the perception out there that here comes this guy who has everything, big bad Tom Brady, and he's kicking Greg Olsen to the side, who everyone now has fallen in love with Greg Olsen. And I think there are people who, without hearing Brady do a game, and I know this is true based on when I tweeted my column the other day about Olsen and Burkhart calling their last game and the reply, there are people, no matter whether they think he's good or not, they're going to say Brady sucks. Like, he's got a target on his back because of the way he's getting this job. Not his fault. Fox came up with this plan. Fox said, this is the plan we're going to do. They're implementing the plan. So no one's really at fault. But Joe Schmo on his couch doesn't really care about that. And I think some people are going to look at Tom as the bully who pushed out Greg Olsen. And there's going to be people who does, because he's Tom Brady and won a million Super Bowls and beat their team to a pulp on a weekly basis, are not going to want to say Tom Brady's good.
This part of that. I do think we live in a culture now where people, you know, get on these guys' Instagram accounts and are like, look at him having fun with his kids. Look at him being silly. And they're a little more forgiving if you're just a huge star, even if, you know, the Patriots just killed your team over and over. I also think of the thing about Olsen, I'll just go back to this. There weren't a lot of Greg Olsen did not have a lot of name ID in America, broadly speaking. Football fans knew who he was, but you know, talking about the giant audience when he started doing that gig, and you know what happened? He was just really good at it, and everybody's like, "Oh, we like this guy because you're really good at it." So, if there's advice for Tom Brady, be good, and all of a sudden, everybody will be like, "I like this guy. I like him calling my games."
So, if I had to put you on the spot and make you make a prediction without any basis for making this prediction, you think Brady is good in the booth, or do you think he flops in the booth?
I would bet that he's going to be good.
I think so. And it helps that he's got Burkhart with him.
The point I made in the piece, and I think is also important, is he does come out of this player media world now where these guys are just doing stuff. You mentioned Sirius. He also had those documentaries about his life. They're just involved in media in a much more direct way than players who are waiting for the cameras to come to their locker were in the old days. And I think that's like an interesting point. Like, he just arrives having talked into his phone and talked into a camera more than the previous generation of announcers did. I think that's something. So that matters somewhere in this.
And to put a pin in this, it all will cap off year one in the booth for Tom Brady. Fox has the Super Bowl next year.
It's incredible. I mean, so Olsen year one Super Bowl, Brady year one Super Bowl.
Yeah. All right, let's switch gears. I didn't really get a chance to get into this on the podcast just for timing issues. I think it was the week I had Burkhart and Olsen, but I'm still to this day fascinated by the ESPN Doc Rivers Jeff Van Gundy situation.
You and me both, pal.
So when they fired Van Gundy, I think it was kind of obvious to anyone who pays attention that it was probably because Jeff is critical of officials and the NBA, which, and I've said this on this podcast many times, makes no sense because Jeff is an NBA lifer who loves the NBA. So while he's critical, it's because he loves the product. So to say but no one ever came out with that as the official word. And Andrew Marchand got someone, I guess, to tell him that they let Van Gundy go because Van Gundy wanted to get back into coaching eventually. Okay, fine. If that's your ridiculous logic, go for it. But then they bring in Doc Rivers, who everyone knows wants to go back into coaching. And when when they hired Rivers that day, and I wrote my column, I give him 2-3 years tops. I feel like a fool for thinking it would even go that long before Doc would get back into coaching. And I've also said this and have written this. I think this was all a plan for ESPN to get J.J. Redick in that spot and get out Jeff Van Gundy and Mark Jackson. But they couldn't do it yet. It was still too soon. If they put Redick in the number one spot, I think they'd get some blowback. So they thought, okay, let's give Doc 1 or 2 years. He'll go into coaching. We'll put Redick in. Now they have to do it after basically 6 months, it seems like. What a bizarre situation.
It's so funny. And the only thing I'd add to what you said, which is exactly right, is that when they made that excuse anonymously, that Van Gundy wanted to get back into coaching, he had called 17 consecutive NBA finals. 17 in a row. But we're worried about him walking out the door and taking another job.
Right.
What? Right. Wait, that's like, I mean, it's like almost as long as John Madden was in broadcast. Like, are you serious? 17 in a row? And that was the answer. And maybe, and by the way, his salary might have been part of this equation too, not just the refs. But as you say, we want this transition to happen. We take his salary off the books now when we're having all these layoffs. And he's got obviously got a big salary, been at ESPN a long time, as
I'm
evidenced
sure
by.
Doc Rivers wasn't making peanuts.
No, but it was a shorter term deal.
Right.
You know, again, you knew he was. And I remember at the time hearing whispers that they really wanted Doc to commit to a certain amount of time in there. And it clearly was more than like 3 months. But it was like, I heard whispers like maybe they wanted to get him in for, could get him to commit to like 2 years, as opposed to just a one and done.
I just, you made a great point there. Networks don't break up broadcast teams that have been around for 17 seasons to just break them. I mean, I understand there were layoffs at the time at ESPN, but usually when networks, sports broadcasting networks, have a booth that's been together for 17 years, they try to keep it going.
Yeah, I mean, Gundy was good. I mean, that's like, this isn't a thing. It's not like he's just some random guy who was there for 17 years. He was like really good at his job.
The one area where ESPN sort of had the advantage over TNT, like they can't compete when it comes to the studio show. They had the best analyst in the game. You could also make the argument the best play-by-play guy in Mike Breen, but
Sure.
Harlan and Ian and Brian, they're no slouches. But the clear domination was the number one analyst of Van Gundy over the number one analyst for TNT, which I guess is Reggie Miller. And ESPN just said, screw it.
The one point I'd make is I don't know that we need three-person NBA broadcast booths. I don't know that we need three-person broadcast booths at all. And
Agreed.
for some reason, we got locked into ESPN and then TNT when they would get to the conference finals, would put Van Gundy and Miller and Harlan together. I think we should give two-person broadcast booth a go.
Couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree more. I think the only sport where it works a little bit is baseball because there's so much, although there's less downtime now with the pitch clock. But here in New York, the Gary Cohen, Keith Hernandez, Ron Darling booth is extremely popular for SNY. I think if you have something like that, because of the pace of baseball, it works. I couldn't agree more. NBA, NFL, there is no need for three people in a booth ever.
Yeah, and they do this, start doing this weird thing where they start having a conversation with each other, the two analysts. And I just always like, just say the thing. I don't know that we need you guys. That's like Mark and Jackson and Jeff Gambidoni would start doing, would just start talking to each other. And it was kind of funny, for a minute. And it's kind of like, eh.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK. LASIK.com.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Couple of quick hitters here. Did you have any thoughts about Netflix landing Monday Night Raw in a monstrous, monstrous deal, and what this means, I guess, for other sports? Is Netflix, I guess, they're a player now to get a package, or is it? Do you think they're just testing the waters because wrestling is sort of, the entertainment, not just hardcore sports? What do we make of the ramifications from Netflix getting Monday Night Raw?
Yeah, and I guess we should say followed immediately by a monstrous story in the Wall Street Journal, a different kind
Yes.
of monstrous. The it was interesting because it always felt like Netflix was going to come in somehow on this. It was not going to be content with just documentaries. Like there was going to be some kind of thing. And Raw is like a really interesting way in because I think there is a consistency to that product.
Oh, yeah.
Even if you have, Stone Cold highs and Roman Reigns, however high that mountain is,
Right.
you do have peaks and valleys, but there is a certain consistency to like, this is just a thing and it's going to be a thing, with the right creative hands behind it. And it also the international appeal of wrestling is always fascinating because it's like, it's so big in Europe and it's so big in the UK and it's so big and, it has Australia's, I think has some, big wrestling fans and all. So there is this kind of international feel to it. So for them to get in that way, I mean, the number was huge, but it does make a certain amount of sense.
Yeah, and I think it's going to get moved off Mondays. That's my prediction. People in the
Did you like
company
the
have
whole thing where
talked.
they're going to have the commercials? You can watch, you'll have the tier where you get to watch what happens during the commercial.
I think that's going to be very interesting. I'll tell you what fascinated me more than anything, which didn't really get a lot of play, is the contract with USA Network is up, I think, in September. Doesn't go to Netflix till January. So there's going to be 3 months there of something going on that we don't know about yet. So be interested to see
What happened?
what
They go to the CW like those random college football games did
happens.
last season.
Maybe.
I was joking with my podcast partner, David Shoemaker, who's our wrestling guy. And I was like, it used to be always so funny when they would come back from commercial on Raw because it would obviously be a rest hold if the match was continued over the commercial. And they've just been sitting there in a headlock for like 3 minutes. So I was like, is this the return of the rest hold or is this the end of the rest hold? Because people are actually going to be watching TV during the commercial.
I got news for you. It's even weirder when you're at the event because I went for the I don't I mean when I was a kid I used to go to the Garden for house shows. I don't know if I've ever been to a Monday Night Raw or a SmackDown in my life, and I went this year, this sometime in, I think it was over the summer in 2023, and it's wild because a guy will come out, he'll have his whole entrance, and then the arena's dark and he's just standing there doing nothing for 2 minutes while there's a commercial playing. It's so it's just as weird. It's weird in person and it's weird on TV. But I they'll th listen, say whatever you want about the WWE and wrestling. They're as creative as it gets. So they'll come up with something for those breaks for the people who don't who pay for no ads. They'll come up with something that'll be interesting.
Did you have a theory on why McAfee, who's ruling the world in so many ways, is now wants to be back on Raw as the color analyst?
Again, it goes back to like when I said about Nate Burleson. Like, if you're on TV in the morning, Monday through Friday, do you need like Pat's got a radio? I listen. I don't want it to sound like I give nothing but credit. To work that hard is wild, and I guess
And he can do it. Like he will, knowing him, it's not like he's going to be like, oh, I'm mailing this in. He doesn't mail anything in, so he'll be good at Monday
I'm
Night
sure the
Raw.
WWE's got a private jet for him to do what he's got to do, and. Originally he was on SmackDown, which is on Fridays, and that it was impossible, I guess, for him to do that because he has game day. I'll be interested. I would be. I have to assume if they're making this a permanent move, he's going to do it with game day. So think about that schedule in September. He'll have game day Saturday mornings at whatever college stadium. Radio show Monday, Monday Night Raw, back on the radio Tuesday through Friday. You can't say the guy doesn't work hard. That's for sure.
No. And he's got that skill that a very few people have this high level. You can just keep so many things in your head at the same time. Like all the stuff you have to do for his show and then wrestling and then college football. I mean, it's just a lot. And he, like I said, him and Michael Cole, like I'm like, ah, as somebody's interested in announcers, that's a good team. Like that's a, I was just a surprise.
I guess with college football ending, the time now is for Pat to go back into the WWE. He was becoming a really, really strong, big deal as the SmackDown announcer, and then he made the deal with ESPN for game day. So maybe it's just an off-season thing. I don't think they'll play that close to the vest. I don't think they'll say if, in September Pat has to take a break, but guy.
Just tag out, if you will.
Exactly. The guy works hard. There's no doubt about that. There's this theory that's been out there. I've said it. I don't know if maybe we have discussed it. I don't, but each day it seems more and more to me like Stephen A. wants out of ESPN. I mean, what he does on his podcast is just wild.
The Jason Whitlock one was something else. I mean, that was... I've just never heard anything like that from somebody currently working at ESPN.
Do you think this is a move to maybe get an exit from ESPN, or is it a move to just get more... I feel like it's calculated, and there's got to be a move here. What exactly is the move? I don't know. But it does seem like something's going on.
What if it's both? What if it's I want to own all my own stuff, like McAfee does, and also you're going to pay me even more to own my own stuff on your air?
Right.
I think it's 100% chance of both of those are true.
I could see that.
Obviously, going to want to raise, especially after right. Aikman and Troy. I think hasn't he said that he wants to be the highest paid person at ESPN?
I think so.
He has intimated, Stephen A. is not shy about these things, so I think he's talked about it, but yeah. I think he wants to own everything, and he wants to basically have his own media company that is anchored on ESPN, though ESPN will pay for the privilege to make sure it is anchored there.
Right.
And then he will also be paid a ton for ESPN for the privilege.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because I could see him maybe trying to pull a McAfee thing where it's his show, ESPN sort of license it or whatever the situation is, but... ESPN's not doing that with First Take. Like, he'd have to probably get off First Take for that. Why would you ruin what you got going with First Take? So there's some layers there, but I think you're 100% right. It does seem like he's setting himself up for some kind of power move.
100%. I mean, it's like, and by the way, why not if you're him? I mean, it's like, you've seen all these other people do it and it worked. And at ESPN right now, that's clearly what they're doing. So
I do think what's going to be interesting to watch, and I don't think people are thinking about this yet, and I don't blame them because we're only in January, and I don't want to get into a whole thing about the specifics of it, but it is an election year, and I remember what happened the last two elections with sports media, and you couldn't like resist dipping your toe in it, and it's going to be very interesting this time around how bad it gets with people getting in trouble, sports people dipping out. And I mean, I think there's a storm coming, and I don't think the last two elections is going to be, that's child's play, I think, to compare it to what's coming and the fallout from it. And I'm already starting to wonder how sports media is going to fall into all this and fit into all this.
Well, it's Chris Christie's out, so Stephen A. is safe from any election takes. No, just kidding. He will have tons of election takes. I mean, he's sort of figured out this way of, if I just have him on my own podcast that is not controlled by ESPN, I can say whatever I want.
Right.
And have totally different rules than would apply to anybody. I mean, I do think it's a really interesting test for Jimmy Pitaro and ESPN, because like, what was Jimmy's big thing when he came in? I'm going to depoliticize ESPN as much as humanly possible.
Right.
There are people like Jamel Hill and Dan Le Batard who want to have a career where they're able to talk about lots of different kinds of things and not have these bright lines between politics, culture, sports, everything else. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say, like, I will absolutely give you your exit, and we love you, and we wish you best on your, wish you well on your new endeavors. And I'm going to try to make this as sportsy as I possibly can. But as you say, big election, big stakes, people will be angry. Mm-hmm. So what happens? What are the rules at ESPN? And especially, what are the rules when Pat McAfee, Aaron Rodgers, and Stephen A. Smith can do whatever they want? So if you're at ESPN, but you're not them, but you see what they're doing, what are the new rules? I think we're about to find out.
I do too. I think it's going to be anarchy. I don't know what there really is to say about
that prediction.
Yeah. In more ways than one. I don't know what we should say about this, but I feel like we should not wrap it up with at least mentioning Andrew Marchand leaving the Post.
Oh my gosh.
Going to the Athletic.
About Aran too? Can we put him in here for Puck? I mean, there's a lot of transactions among the people that report the transactions. Andrew Marchand and John Aran became their own story.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I don't know what's going to happen with that podcast. But
I think I read yesterday that it's not a podcast anymore.
Got it.
I think I saw a Barrett Sports Media update.
It would make.
And by the way, whenever I'm at the Super Bowl, they would walk around like the old outsiders in WCW. I don't know if they had matching t-shirts. Andrew's more of a sports coat kind of guy. You're kind of walking around, you're going, uh-oh. You know, hey, I'm outnumbered here. I feel like the old WCW, you know, like Sting or something. But now, you know, we see the factions changing, Jimmy, just like in wrestling. Richard Deitch, Marchand, same company.
Yeah.
You know, is that an uneasy alliance, quote unquote, like we have in wrestling? You know, they come out in the ring and shake hands. We're going to work together.
I'll be watching that dynamic very closely as a former colleague of Richard Deitch's, and as, you know, Martian's been on this pod a million times.
But anything now, so you'd like to share about what it's like to work with Richard?
I think they do a lot of the same things, obviously. And I think with Marchand leaving the Post, where he was able to do a lot of inside New York stuff, now he's going to the Athletic. So you'd imagine less New York, more national, and that's Deitch's turf. So we'll have to see if, you know, they team up for a podcast, if they step on each other's toes, what's going to happen.
Well, this is really, we're really stirring the pot here on their behalf, you know.
I had to get that out there.
I will say this is, and I think this, and I say this, you and I are both friends of all these people, so we know these people. Yeah. I will say that there's a couple things that are interesting about this. One is, like, this subject that you and I cover and have just been an hour talking about turns out to be a huge subject and a huge subject of interest for people.
Yes.
And the Athletic bringing Andrew in shows you just what the appetite for this is, in addition to all the great work he's done at the Post. It just shows you that there is, like, an immense amount of stuff to write about here. And I just think there'll be so much for them both to do, you know, just even if whatever media company they work at, there's just so much here. And I just think it is a sign. And then Puck bringing John over, like,
I've always said this
is, you know, this has become a category of sports.
Yeah. I've always said this. A lot of people watch sports, and everyone who watches sports has opinions on the announcers. So that's why we're able to do what we're able to do, thank God. In all seriousness, all kidding aside, because like you said, I'm a big fan of both of those guys. The one interesting aspect I'm curious to see is, you know, Marchand breaks almost every single sports media story. And now theoretically with The Athletic, there's a paywall. I'm always fascinated by how that works, because if you're breaking a news story, inevitably it gets on Twitter, and you're a subscription base. So, you know, The Athletic, I think, is perfect for, you know, columnists and stuff like that. Martian is really a breaking news guy. I mean, he breaks almost every sports media story. So I'm be curious to see how that all ends up working out with the paywall over at The Athletic.
Yeah. Well, as you say, part of it's a Twitter product. Like, you're watching Twitter to see what the news is. But part of it too is, I would just say that the Times paywall, like, the Times is the newspaper now.
Right. Right.
You know, and there's just a lot of, you know, if you have one subscription, for a lot of people, that's a subscription you have. So I think people will be dipping in there past the Twitter news breaks.
I agree. Last thing, will you be doing your annual Radio Row excursion in Las Vegas next week?
How did you know? I mean, it's my second home.
Can't wait. Can't wait for that column.
I don't have a vacation home, but I have a home on Radio Row. It's like, for people who don't know, it's like Disneyland, except instead of beloved characters, right? It's the kind of people you and I care much about. Mad Dog, Jim Rome. I mean, it's just a whole, and you just walk around, and they're just walking around with you, and it's an immersive. It's almost, see, I don't need to go to the U2 thing at the Sphere, because I have my own immersive experience in Vegas.
Radio. And as I discussed last week with Kyle Brand on this podcast, it's, everything will be heightened because it's in Vegas. So watch out next week on Radio Row. God only knows where is it going to be? And is it at the Luxor?
The media hotel is the Luxor. That's where they're putting it. One had the giant Dorito on it.
Yeah. Where's Radio Row?
I should know this, but I have not looked at the press release yet. So, but I will tell you, I have looked at the guest list. And let's just say, I'm not so sure it's going to be, you know, more lustrous because it's in Vegas. I mean, I saw, like, Carrot Top is coming to Radio Row. He was actually on the row last year.
What day of the week is Carrot Top?
Carrot Top was a Wednesday guy last time, or Tuesday guy. I think that's still Carrot Top's slot. I mean, you could argue Vegas. Maybe he's a Thursday is the peak of Radio Row. So he could maybe get Thursday, Friday. Terry Fader, who does the puppets or the ventriloquism.
Don't even know
Yeah,
who that is.
shaking your head. He's a Radio Row guest this year. There are some funny ones already. Like I saw like Shedeur Sanders is a Friday guy. Interesting,
Okay,
right?
that's
Thursday's a
interesting.
peak, Friday's slightly lower than the peak. Yeah, he's a good Friday guy. Josh Allen, Thursday guy. Fred Taylor's a Thursday guy this year. I was like, Fred Taylor?
Josh Allen is that'll get some. That'll be a good one for people to interview.
That's a
A lot of
Thursday.
questions for him. Yeah.
100%.
All
Yeah. Your quarterback, Thursday. Your Thursday guy.
Yeah. Quarterback coming off a, rough one. All right. Well, I look forward to the Radio Row column, and thank you for coming on. Enjoy Las Vegas, and we'll talk to you soon.
You got it, Jimmy. Always great
All
to
right.
talk to you.
You too. Thank you, Brian. All right, my many, many thanks to Brian Curtis. Hope you guys enjoyed it. If you're not a subscriber to SI Media with Jimmy Traina, please subscribe to the pod and leave a review on Apple. And make sure you have listened to recent episodes. If you missed any, Kyle Brandt from Good Morning Football was on the podcast last week. It was a really great pod. 2 weeks ago, Kevin Burkhart and Greg Olson joined me. And 3 weeks ago, it was Jim Miller to talk about a lot of things going on at ESPN. So great episodes in recent weeks. If you missed any, check them out and make sure you subscribe. All right. That wraps it up for this week. We will see you next week with Jim Nantz, who is calling the Super Bowl. So that should be good. All right. We'll see you next week. Stay safe and take care.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you did it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.